to the book of Acts chapter 13. And as we come to the book of Acts chapter 13, I find a wonderful theme that ought to be the battle cry of every church. In fact, it's the theme that we have chosen for this mission conference. And the theme is simply local church, global mission. That's the theme that we have chosen. Let me say that there's a chronological order that goes along with this. There is a chronological order. It begins with local church. That's where it starts. It begins with local church. You remember in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'm going to build my church." Future tense. I will build in the future. That's what I'm going to do. In the future, I will build my church. But then he taught his disciples in Matthew 18 about interpersonal relationships. And you're familiar with the text. He said, if you have a problem with somebody, you go to your neighbor and talk about that person, right? No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said. No, he said, you go to that person and you talk with them. And if you can't resolve it, then you get witnesses and you go and talk with them again. And if you still can't resolve it, then you bring it to the what? You bring it to the church. You see, by the time you get to Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, here's what I'm going to do. You get to Matthew 18, just two chapters later, it's in place. They know what it is. They know where it is. And he said, if you have a problem, you take it to the church. And of course, here the point we need to understand is simply this, is that just before he went to heaven, the Lord Jesus gave to that church a commission. He gave to that church a commandment. He gave them some instruction. In Matthew or Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem." You're to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. In other words, the local church was to be reaching the place where they were local. Does that make sense? The local church was to be reaching the place where they were local. They're to meet the people in the area where they are and strive to win them for Christ. But that was not the end of their responsibility. Notice it says in Acts 1:8, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both." Now the word both there simply means, as many of you already know, it simply means at the same time. So you're to be witnesses with me in Jerusalem, but at the same time, you're also to be witnesses unto me in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So that brings us to the second point. We see local church, but then there's also global mission. Global mission. Now, this is not a new thing that was invented in the New Testament. This is not just a New Testament concept, this idea of missions. God Himself ordained Israel to be a nation with a mission. They were given a mission. They were given a purpose. They were to be a blessing, Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1 to 3. They were to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And the way that they would be a blessing to all the families of the earth would be as they were shining as a light, revealing to men the spiritual darkness that they are in, and revealing to them the spiritual light that only God is able to give. That's why when Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple that he had built there in the city of Jerusalem, he prayed for those strangers. The word stranger, he simply prayed for people who were not Jews. He was praying for the Gentile nations that surrounded them. And he prayed as he dedicated the temple. He prayed for those strangers who would hear about the Lord God and who would be drawn from those other nations to come and to pray to the Lord God of Israel. Listen to what Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 43. Here's his prayer. He's talking to God, and he said this, "Hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for." In other words, what Solomon was praying was simply this, "God, when all of these people from these other nations, when they come here and pray to you, answer their prayer." That's what he's asking. He says, answer their prayer. Why? Why would a Jewish king pray that his God would answer the prayers of all these Gentile nations? Why would he ask that kind of a thing? Well, notice what he said. He said, answer their prayer. When they call unto thee, do what they ask. Why? That all people of the earth may know thy name. See? That was the whole mission. That all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel. And that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. That was God's mission for the nation of Israel. But you know the story, right? They failed in their mission. They failed in their mission. Instead of being separated from the world and being a light to the world, Israel joined in the darkness of the world and became just like the world itself. And so therefore Israel as a nation was eventually set aside as God's representative in this world. And therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, He established the church. And the purpose of the church, just like the purpose of Israel, was to be His representative, to carry the light of His truth into a world that is filled with spiritual darkness. And so therefore, as a church, as a local church, we need to understand that our responsibility is not just to reach our city. It is not just to reach our nation. Rather, we need to understand that our responsibility goes way beyond the borders of Singapore. Our responsibility is to carry the gospel, as the Bible says in Mark 16, verse number 15, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And that's why every one of us, as members of this local church, need to have a vision. I like what our missionaries reported tonight. The desire for a greater vision. That's what we all need, folks. We all need a greater vision that looks upon the mission fields of the world and is moved with compassion for them because of their lost and hopeless condition. That's the very thing the prophet spoke about. Jeremiah and Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 51. He said, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." In other words, the things that he saw, the spiritual condition that was going on around him, caused his heart to be moved with compassion for his people. Now in our text, because they saw the spiritual condition of the world around them. I'm back in Acts 13. I know you wondered if I would ever get there. Well, here we are. In Acts chapter 13, because of the spiritual condition of the world around them, the hearts of those people in the church at Antioch was moved. The hearts of the people in the church at Antioch was stirred up. And because of that, we find that there were two things that they were willing to give. I submit to you this evening that the reason why people are not willing to get involved in giving to missions is simply because we've never allowed God to stir our hearts. I'm going to tell you that for the past 3 years, our missions giving has been deficit. Fortunately, we had enough balance in the bank that we've been able to make up and to continue on. But folks, you can't keep dipping in the well because it'll soon go dry. And the more we use of the surplus that we had in the bank, the more we use of that to maintain the programs that we have, the less we are able to do in the area of helping with special projects, helping with special needs. The two missionaries we have here tonight, we've been able to help both of them at various times with substantial amounts of money. But we're not going to be able to do that because we cannot give what does not come in. And so what we need tonight as a church is to have our hearts stirred in an even greater way so that we will be willing to do more than just talk about missions and take mission trips and do those other things. But we need to get down to the nitty-gritty of actually being willing to get involved and give to the work of missions. Now, I want you to notice this church at Antioch, there's two things that they gave. First of all, they gave their people. They gave their people. And when they gave their people, they did not give the lazy do-nothings, right? They did not give those who were the diligent troublemakers to the mission field. I know a lot of pastors who pastor churches that have people in their church that... Now, this isn't true in our church, you understand that, but there's people in their church, they would love to send to the mission field just to get them out, right? But no, this church, they didn't do that. They didn't give the troublemakers. They didn't give the guys who didn't do anything. This church, you read the record, they gave the very best they had. They were willing to give the very best that they had. How do we know that? Well, go back to Acts chapter 11, just a page or two back in your Bible. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that a whole year they..." Now, when you look at the context there, you understand they, who they are. That's talking about Barnabas and Saul. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples... Here's the effect of their ministry. The disciples were called Christians first. Antioch. Not in Jerusalem where the church was started. But they're first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Because of the teaching of Barnabas and the teaching of Saul. And they taught with such power and with such authority, and they were such great men of the Scriptures that when they taught, people began to grow in the Lord. And as they grew, even the outsiders looked and said, "Those people are Christians." Now, that wasn't a term of endearment in those days. What that literally meant was, those people are, well, they're just like that Jesus Christ fella that we crucified. That's who they're like. What a wonderful compliment, by the way, when the world looks at us and says, "Boy, they're just like Jesus Christ." Be nice if that could be said of every member in our church, don't you think? I certainly do. But then I want you to notice now in verse 2 and verse number 3 that this church now in Antioch, they have grown in the Lord because of the teaching of Barnabas and Saul, and they're recognized as being people who are just like Jesus Christ. They are Christ followers. And the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, George and Leroy." No. "Separate me. I want the very best you got. I want you to give me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Why? Because what they saw affected their heart. Because they saw the need of the nations of the world, and it moved their heart to be filled with the compassion like Jesus had. And they were willing to give the very best they had to go and share the gospel with those who desperately needed it. Not only were they willing to give their people, number two, they supported their people. They supported their people. They gave their people, and then they supported their people. And there's two ways they did it. First of all, they did it with prayer. Notice in verse number 3, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. In other words, I want you to notice, this was not a simple prayer that went something like the many times we might pray. "Dear Lord, just bless all the missionaries. Amen." This was something far more specific. This was something far greater. This was a prayer that was actually accompanied with fasting. It was accompanied with fasting. In other words, this was a prayer from the hearts of a people who were serious about being involved in the work of God, and they were serious about faithfully fulfilling the commission of God. So what did they pray for? What did they pray for as they prayed for these missionaries? What did they pray for? Well, I think the Apostle Paul, in his writings, gives us at least three things that the church prayed for as they prayed for their missionaries. First of all, Colossians 4:3, they prayed for missionary opportunities. They prayed for missionary opportunities. In other words, as the Apostle Paul said, that the doors of utterance might be opened for us. In other words, that God would open doors of opportunity for us to be able to speak for Him and to share the gospel with those who need it so desperately. They prayed for missionary opportunities. Number two, they prayed for missionary success. They prayed for missionary success. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, the prayer request was made that as Paul and the other missionaries went out and preached God's Word, that it would have free course in the hearts and in the lives of people. In other words, as they preached, that people would respond by trusting Christ as their Savior. They prayed for opportunities. They prayed for success. And then number three, they prayed for missionary protection. For missionary protection. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. They prayed that their missionaries might be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Tonight we heard about attacks in Papua being conducted on various people, even in broad daylight. That's wicked, unreasonable men. And all of our missionaries at any time could face something like that. You know that? At any time they could experience something like that. And so we need to be praying for our missionaries, praying for God's hand of protection to be upon them. And so we find that they supported their missionaries, first of all with their prayers, but then also with their finances, letter B. They supported them with their finances. Notice verse 3 says, they sent them away. They sent them away. In other words, after God told them to send out two of their best leaders, it would have been easy for them to argue, would it not? It would have been easy for them to second guess God. But instead they obeyed. And the Bible says they sent them on their way. Now the Greek word that is translated sent here, the Greek word is apoluo. And it carries basically two ideas. There are two ideas that are included in this word. First of all, it means to release. It means to release. In other words, to set free from the responsibilities that they had at the church at Antioch. They had been busy teaching, they had been busy preaching, but now they have been set free from that. They have been released from those responsibilities. But it also means to send. Not only to release, but it means to send. In other words, they didn't just say, bye-bye, see you in a couple of years. No, the Bible, by that word sent, literally means that they provided what was necessary for the journey. In other words, they gave them the money needed to buy the boat tickets, to get the provisions needed for the missionary journey. The church provided financially for the needs of the missionaries that they were sending out. And so therefore, because they were willing to obey God, they released their missionaries from their responsibilities at home. And they provided for them so that they could go out as God had called them to do, because they were willing to obey the Lord in these matters. Verse 4 says this, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now you look at verse 3, verse 4, you find the word sent is used. Sent. They sent, and then you find the Holy Spirit sent, right? But even though the English word is the same, the Greek word, interestingly enough, is different. The Greek word is different. The Greek word that is used here in verse number 4 is ekpimpo. Ekpimpo. And it also carries an idea that means two things. First of all, it can mean being commissioned by the Holy Ghost. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit who had called them. He chose them, He called them, He selected them. It was the Holy Spirit who sent them out because He had commissioned them. But not only that, it also carries the idea of being directed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, not only did the Holy Spirit of God call them out, but He told them where to go. He directed them in each step that they made. Brother Jason, they have gone into different places, different times. They've been in different places, and yet God has moved them from Bangkok to Phuket, from the coast up into the mountains, and all around in there. And why does He do that? Because they have surrendered themselves to the Lord. We have helped to send them out, and now the Holy Spirit, who called them, directs them to exactly where He wants for them to be. No wonder the Apostle Paul then said this. He ties it all together. When you look at the church, the local church, you look at the global mission that they are involved in, and you begin to realize that all of this is working together according to God's plan and according to God's purpose, then it's no wonder the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9 that we are laborers together with God. Now, you stop and think about that. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to think, well, you know, these missionaries, they're able to go because our church helps them. Our church supports them. And we're involved in that. And that's a wonderful thing. But then when you bring God Himself into the equation, and you realize it's not just us and our missionaries, but it's God using us to minister to our missionaries that they might minister to those who need Christ. That's an awesome thought indeed. That's an awesome thought indeed. If our church is going to be walking in cooperation with the Spirit of God to reach our world for Jesus Christ, then it boils down to this, ladies and gentlemen. Every one of us, because we are the church. We are the church. And every one of us then have the responsibility of doing our part to send those whom God has called, that they might do what God has called them to do. And so during this mission conference week, we're actually holding, if you stop and think about it, we're actually holding a business meeting. It's not the AGM. It's more important than that. It's more important than that. We're holding a business meeting, and every one of us is going to cast a vote, and every one of us is going to make a decision. We're going to make a decision whether or not we're going to be involved in God's work or not. That's the decision we're going to make. Are we going to be involved in God's work or not? We're also going to make a decision concerning how much we're going to be involved. What is the depth? What is the level of our commitment to being involved in the work of God? And based on the decisions and the commitments and the determination that we have in this matter of understanding and fulfilling the responsibility God has given to us, our church as a whole is either going to move forward and do greater things in the area of missions, or we're going to just kind of stumble along and maintain a status quo. But we're going to begin to do as we have done over the past couple of years. We're just going to go in the hole. But we're going to make the decision one way or the other. One way or the other. And so may God help us this evening to begin to pray, to begin to determine that we're going to dedicate ourselves to give more, to do more than we've ever done before, in order that our church might be doing exactly what our God has commanded that we are to do. And it's very simple. Do you remember what it was? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not a hard thing to understand. Not a hard thing to comprehend. And the only reason it's hard for us to do is simply because sometimes we just lack the faith to do it. And so may God help us. May God help us in this regard. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You tonight.